and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 27. We're actually going to finish up the book of 1 Samuel today. We're going to cover quite a few chapters, but it all points to one thing. We're really going to see a contrast today. We're going to see a contrast between two different men. The man we know as David, God's anointed next king of Israel, and King Saul. But before we get there, I do want to say again, happy Father's Day. I'm so thankful today for God, my Father, and I'm so thankful for my father, John. Listen, my dad has passed away. He's been gone for 35 years now, but I have celebrated my daddy every year. I'm so thankful that I had my dad. I'm so thankful for the love he poured into me. I'm thankful for my second dad. You know, some people call him father-in-laws. He never treated me like a son-in-law. He treated me like a son. But my father, Doc, has been gone a few years now, and I'm thankful for him, too. And even today, you know, when I think about my dad, I wore his favorite color. He loved Dodgers, and he loved Dodger blue. So today I wore my Dodger blue jacket for my daddy. And when I think about what it means, you know, to be a father, I really have to say I've been blessed in this life. And I know that not all of us are blessed in this way. But my daddy was truly a father to me. He didn't just help birth me into this world. He helped grow me up. And he helped teach me the Word of God. As a matter of fact, I remember when I prayed the prayer of salvation. I remember when I repented of my sin and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It was my daddy who was kneeling down beside me at my bed when I did that. And I don't take that for granted. And I know that some of you, maybe that didn't happen. But I'm going to tell you, we all have a father that we can celebrate. And that is our God, our great God, who loves us and who saved us. Think about this. There's nothing you've done to earn salvation. You can't work hard enough and you can't work long enough for salvation. I'm going to tell you something else. You don't deserve it. It's our good, good Father. Brother Andy and the praise team sang about that this morning, right? We're in our Father's house. And the only reason we're here today is by the grace and the love and the mercy of our Father. And he demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? So here's the thing. Jesus is the difference. Jesus is the difference maker, right? That's the difference. And so what we're going to see today in Scripture is we're going to see the difference maker in David. And we're going to see a choice, right, that Saul made to reject the difference maker. Because what we see in 1 Samuel 26, right, before we jump into 27 and we move into chapter 31, which is Saul's fall, before we get there, what we see in chapter 26 is we see that Saul made a confession. But he made a confession to David. If you'll remember, he said, I have sinned and I have done wrong. I have acted like a fool. But he was talking to David, right? So Saul made a confession to David. But nowhere in Scripture do we hear or do we see repentance from King Saul before God Almighty, before God the Father. So we hear a confession before a man, and listen to me, confession's a good thing, but confession without repentance is nothing. Do you hear me? Confession is a good thing, but confession without repentance when it comes to sin is nothing. And that's what happened with Saul. So that's what happened with King Saul. So I just want to go through this with you real quick, okay? Because from 1 Samuel chapter 1 all the way through this chapter, we've seen some very devastating traits in King Saul. And I just want to highlight a few, okay? So here's the thing. If someone ever describes you, please don't let it be like this. Do everything you can to make it not be like this, okay? Because I'm fixing to give you some devastating traits of King Saul. You ready? King Saul is impatient. Does anybody got a strike one right now? Yeah, Brother Gary said just keep on moving. Strike one on me, right? King Saul is disobedient. You want me to keep going? Yeah, just keep on moving. Okay, I'm going to keep moving. King Saul is selfish. King Saul is a liar. King Saul is foolish. King Saul is prideful. Let me tell you what, I'm not here today. I'm not here to bash King Saul. I'm not here to drive King Saul in the dirt, because here's the truth. He did that to himself. He don't need Jeff's help, and he don't need the church's help. I just wanted to list some qualities to you about King Saul, but here's the thing. You know what? If I look hard enough, actually, I don't even have to look too hard. If I just look in the mirror, I see a lot of them qualities in Jeff Thomas. I've been guilty. I've been guilty. Okay? Here's what I want you to understand. King Saul had every opportunity to repent. He had every opportunity. We've seen it. He's had multiple opportunities, even while he was king, to repent, and he did not. That's the difference maker. I shared a quote with you a couple of months ago, and I want to share it with you again. He's one of my favorite pastors. Me and Brother Elliot love Pastor Joby Martin. As a matter of fact, Pastor Joby's coming and speaking at a men's conference this fall, the Dry Bones Men's Conference. And I'm excited to be able to see him and hear him, because he preaches the gospel. But he gave us a quote a couple of months ago, and I want to give it to you again. Here's what he said. He said, "Disobedience always has a destination, and it leads to destruction." Disobedience always has a destination, and it leads to destruction. So we see these devastating traits in King Saul, but here is the kicker. It was a devastating decision. Do you hear me? It was a devastating decision that really made the difference. Listen to me. God can forgive you, and God can cleanse you from your selfishness. God can forgive you, and God can cleanse you from your disobedience. God can forgive you and cleanse you from your foolishness. God can. There ain't a sin too great that God can't forgive you. God's grace is greater. Amen? Okay? But when you make a decision like Saul makes, then what you do is you shut the door. You shut the door to God's grace. And you shut the door to God's forgiveness. And you shut the door to salvation. And Saul did that. As a matter of fact, we see this devastating decision. It says King Saul rejected the word of God. I can't say that enough. Because if you ask me, Brother Jeff, what happened to King Saul? Why did King Saul fall? I'm not just going to point to his disobedience, to his foolishness. I'm not just going to point to this or that. I'm going to point to this. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. That's what I'm going to point to. Are you ready? Here's what God's word says. It says, "Rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you," he's talking to Saul, "because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." And that's it. So when I get to 1 Samuel chapter 31 and you go, "How did we get here?" Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. That's how it happens. We see Saul's confession, but most devastatingly, we see his fall. Now, to prove to you that none of us are perfect, that none of us, right, none of us deserve or earn God's grace, we have to receive it. I'm going to get back to David for a minute, okay? So before we get to Saul's fall, let's talk about David, because I've asked you this, and you ought to be good at this answer by now, right? Was David perfect? No. And I have given you evidences that he is not perfect. Let me give you another one. Are you ready? This is real simple. 1 Samuel chapter 27, and I'm only going to read one verse out of this chapter. You ready? It says, "But David thought to himself," boom. Mic drop. "Houston, we have a problem." David, why are you thinking to yourself? Because this is not going to be good. Here it is. But David thought to himself, one of these days, I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. Why would he think that? Has he ever been told that by God? No. As a matter of fact, he's been told the opposite by God. Time and time again. Not only has he been told through the Word of God, he's been shown by the Word of God that Saul ain't gonna get him. But yet, David thought to himself, right? Which means he ain't thinking in the Spirit. He ain't thinking in the Lord. He's thinking with his own flesh. So David thought to himself, one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. The best thing I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, David. Go to the land of the enemy whose head you chopped off. That makes a whole lot of sense. Go there. Yeah, camp out there where they just love you, David. The best thing I can do is escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hands. Like you need help slipping out of Saul's hands. Like you need help. Like God has rescued you how many times? You can't count them. You can't count them how many times God's... And he needs your help rescuing? I don't think he needs your help, David. But you thought to yourself. See, here's the problem we have, right? David chose to listen to his own voice rather than to listen to the voice of God. Think about this. Up to this time, these past few chapters, what we've seen is we've seen David relying on Jehovah Jireh, his provider. We've seen David relying on Jehovah Mephalti, his deliverer. But then all of a sudden, things get a little tense, right? Things get a little hot. Things get a little hectic. And David decides to think for himself, right? And to think to himself without inquiring of God. And this is what he thought. He thought Saul's going to kill me. No, he's not, David. God told you he's not. But you're not listening to God. You're listening to yourself. And yourself is not giving you good advice or good encouragement. I love this. Listen, back in 1 Samuel chapter 22, God told David through the prophet Gad to not stay in the stronghold. See, David was going to stay in the stronghold with his men, and God said, don't do that. Don't stay in the stronghold. Go back to Judah. So guess what David did? Because he at that time, he was listening to God. So guess what David did? He left the stronghold and went back to Judah. He went back to the land that God gave his children, and he was able to worship freely, right? And so now David thinks to himself, I'm going to get out of here. Because Saul's going to find me and Saul's going to kill me. One of these days he's going to kill me. So I'm going to go back to Philistine. God didn't tell him to do that. God didn't tell him to do that. He did that on his own. As a matter of fact, if you keep reading 1 Samuel chapter 27, it says that David and his men decided to settle. That means camp out. That means stay there for an extended period. It says they settled in the land of the Philistines. Why? To hide from King Saul. So David goes to Gath. Now, they knew who David was. They were not stupid or blind. They knew exactly who David was. But Achish, which was the son of the Philistine king, he gave David some land. He said, okay, David, we'd rather have you on our side than have you against us. So why don't you stay in Ziklag? Now, we're going to get to Ziklag a little bit later because eventually, Ziklag becomes a part of Judah. But right now, the Philistines have it. It's Philistine territory. So Achish gives him this land. But now listen, the people didn't like it. The people are like, what are we doing letting this guy stay with us? He's going to turn against us, and he's going to cause trouble for us. And so they were fighting against it, but Achish said, no, we're going to let him stay here. As a matter of fact, Achish said, this guy's good. He's going to be my bodyguard. Like, that was his plan all along. I'm going to get close to this David guy, and he's going to protect me because I know what he can do. Like, he chopped off the head of our giant. So, yeah, I'm going to be friends with this guy. So, Dr. David Jeremiah. So, it sounds good, right? Like, it sounds good. David's probably thinking to himself, hey, right, good idea, good plan. Like, God's doing this. Listen to what Dr. David Jeremiah says. He says, if we are wise, we will persistently encourage ourselves in the Lord and listen to the voice of His Spirit rather than listening to our own fearful or negative whispers, the whispers of our own hearts, we would realize that God is able to deliver His servants from any situation without our help. His provision is a promise, not just a possibility. And here we go. Did you hear what He said? God's provision for you and for me, it's a promise, not just a possibility. I think that's where we get ourselves in trouble so many times. I think that's why so many times we're a lot like David, right? There are times in our lives when we're listening to God and we're going where God wants us to go, but the noise gets a little loud, right? The heaters get turned up a little bit. I mean, we live in Louisiana and we realize that like today, don't we? But anyway, stuff gets hot in our lives and stuff gets hectic in our lives. And all of a sudden we start thinking to ourselves, right? Because we got some pretty good experience and we got some pretty good education. And we got some pretty good ideas on how to help ourselves. And so all of a sudden, before we realize it, we blocked God out. We're not listening to Him anymore. We're only listening to ourselves, right? And so now those promises, right, those provisions of promises from God, they only become possibilities. Well, God might. Well, if God said it, it ain't no might to it. He will. So many times we talk ourselves out of God's promises. We make His promises possibilities. And then we go, well, if God don't, I better have a backup plan. Or better yet, I better just go with my plan because I don't know if God's got a plan. You ever been there? David ain't perfect, okay? He's a man after God's own heart. And King Jesus is coming through the lineage of David. But David ain't perfect. You want me to tell you something? David needed a Savior. He needed the same Savior that Saul needed. And so theologians, they differ in opinions about this episode in David's life, but no matter what they differ on. Some say, well, you know, it was God's plan. It just wasn't. Listen, I don't see how that was God's plan. It said David thought to himself, okay? So that's what I believe. I believe this was David's plan. But here's what I love. God can make a masterpiece out of Jeff's mess. You hear me? God can make a masterpiece out of Jeff's mess. My mom's a really good painter, okay? Some of you might know that. Like, she's very talented. She's got a gift. And I remember one day I was in the kitchen and I was trying to paint like my mama. I ain't got that, okay? Sorry, my daughter Francie got that. I ain't got that. But I was trying to paint like my mama and I was painting this pretty picture. Well, I was painting this picture that I thought was pretty, but it was not. That daisy just wasn't working, right? It wasn't working. It amazed me how my mama, right? She could come over there, use the same brush and the same paint that I was using, and she could do this and this and this and make it look all pretty again, right? My mama could take Jeff's mess and make it a masterpiece. Now, that worked on canvas. My mama can't do that with my life, but my God can. My God can, and my God will in David's life, and we're going to see that. So now, let's keep moving forward. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, so we've got this episode with Saul. You know, he's made a devastating decision. He's rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord's rejected him. Samuel's already told him, you won't be king. You're going to end up, you're going to end up dead. And your sons are, I mean, it's already been prophesied. And Saul's been trying to fight it and fight it and fight it. He's been trying to change the course of history, but he can't because God wrote it. And he made the decision to reject God. So God rejected him. Along the way, Samuel, the prophet, has died. And that's what we see in 1 Samuel 28, verse 3. It says, now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. Let me just tell you something. Saul did some good things. This was one of them. Earlier in his kingship, he did exactly what they were told to do in the book of Exodus. Expel the mediums and the spiritualists, right? Those who tried to call the spirits from the dead. Saul said, get out. He did some good things. But don't mistake this, right? Good things don't make us right with God. Good things don't make us right with God. We can't earn our way into righteousness. We can't earn our way into a right relationship with God. It's called humility, repentance of sin, and faith and trust in the Lord. So just because Saul did some good things here don't mean he was right with God, because he ain't. Because I'm fixing to show you just how fast it can turn around. So it says Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. The Philistines assembled and came and set up a camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all Israel and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Not just afraid, look at this. Terror filled his heart. Wonder why he was afraid? Wonder why terror filled his heart? Well, I see it in verse 6. You ready? It says, he inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him. Did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, find me a woman who is a medium so I may go and inquire of her. So go find one of the people that I kicked out of the land because it was wrong. Go find one of them and I'll turn to them. Makes a lot of sense, right? Right? No, it does not. So here's the truth. Saul was afraid of the Philistines because the Lord did not answer him. Why didn't the Lord answer him? Because Saul made a devastating decision in chapter 15 to reject the word of the Lord, and the Lord rejected him. I'm going to tell you something. We're not guaranteed another breath. We're not guaranteed another minute. We're not guaranteed another hour, another day, another week. When the Lord is speaking to you and the Lord is stirring your heart, I beg you to listen. And not just listen. I beg you to be humble. And I beg you to repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because you're not guaranteed another opportunity. You're not. Saul had other opportunities, because he rejected him the first time, it just got easier and easier to keep on rejecting. And that's what we see in King Saul's life. He just consistently rejected God. Rejected God. See, when you reject the word of the Lord, you reject God, because the word is God. If you don't believe me, go read John chapter 1. The word is God. And the word became flesh. His name is Jesus. Saul rejected the word. So he rejected God. That's why he ain't hearing from God. He tried everything, right? He tried all the Old Testament things. Even the Urim. Some people debate. We don't really know what the Urim was, right? Most likely, they were these gemstones that they would wear on the breastplate, and these gemstones would shine light. It was much like casting lots in the old days. These gemstones would shine light in a certain way, and they believed that the Lord was pointing them in a certain direction, okay? I'm not here to try to preach on that, because nobody really knows for sure, but we just know that he tried everything, and the Lord would not speak to him. Listen to me. It didn't matter what he tried, because his heart was not right. His heart was hardened, and it was not regenerated. And that's why he could not hear from the Lord. And so Saul says, I'll do something for myself. I'll go to a medium. So he goes to this medium. Now understand, this was also written about in the scriptures. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy, and also says in Leviticus, that if you consult a medium, you defile yourself before the Lord, which means you're unclean. You're impure. And so Saul defiled himself by consulting this medium. Now I'm going to tell you, verses 8 through 25, please understand this. It is the only place in Scripture where you will encounter this situation. Okay? And theologians don't agree on this either. Okay? So I'm not going to try to expound on this, but let me tell you what happens. In verses 8 through 25, Saul wanted to hear the voice of Samuel. He wanted Samuel to speak to him. And so when the medium says, what do you want? And who do you want to talk to? Saul had to disguise himself. Does anybody know why he had to disguise himself? Because he kicked this lady out. And so at first, he's disguised. She don't know who he is. And so she says, who do you want to talk to? He says, Samuel. Can you bring Samuel back? Well, guess what happens? Because I can't lie. The Bible says that the medium saw Samuel. That's what the Bible says. So here's the thing. God either gave her a vision of Samuel or he allowed Samuel's spirit to appear to her and speak to her. You're going, Brother Jeff, how? Help me, because I don't know. I just know the Bible says it. Okay? And guess what? This vision or this spirit said to the medium. The exact same thing Samuel said to Saul way back. You have rejected the Lord. He has rejected you. As a matter of fact, you're going to be where I am. He didn't mean heaven. He meant dead. You're going to be dead. And your sons are going to be dead because of the decisions you have made. So at that point, this medium, she realizes, hold up. I know who you are. You the guy to kick me out. You're going to kill me. And he's like, no, I ain't going to kill you. I ain't going to kill you, right? I ain't going to kill you. I need you. I need you to tell me something. Well, she told him. And so Samuel, right, or this vision or spirit confirmed to the medium about Saul's future. Saul hears it and he realizes, I can't do nothing about it. He knows he's going to fall. He knows he's going to fall at the hand of the Philistines. He knows because God has said it. So in 1 Samuel 29, the Philistine Achish comes back and he's comfortable now with David around, but his men don't like it. They thought he was going to turn against them. And so they said, hey, when we start attacking Israel, David's going to get mad. He's going to fight us and we're going to be in trouble. So let's send David back to Ziklag. And so they did. So Achish said, hey, David, my men aren't comfortable with you. They don't like what's going on. I like you around. I'm not kicking you out, but I need you to go back to Ziklag. I need you to go back to the home that I gave you, that place where you settled. So David goes back, okay? Now, this is where I believe God steps in, right? And God can make a masterpiece out of our messes. Has anybody here ever heard of a group called the Amalekites? You studied Old Testament history, right? How many of you know that the Amalekites were bad, bad dudes? Like they were bad. Okay? The Amalekites did not like the Israelites. As a matter of fact, when God set the Israelites free from captivity in the book of Exodus, and they were leaving the land and they were led to the land that God gave them, the Amalekites attacked them. And do you remember what God said? God said, my judgment will be upon you forever. That's what he told the Amalekites. You've attacked my children. You are now against me, and I will be against you. So God basically pronounced divine judgment upon the Amalekites. Well, guess what happened while David was out of town? The Amalekites came into Ziklag and raided the land. Not only did they raid the land, they took David's two wives. Because remember, he had one, and then he married Abigail. Oops. Anyway, so they took his wives, took them captive. And what we find is a very devastating scene. So let's back up. In chapter 27, David is running for his life, and David did what? He thought to himself, right? I'll think to myself. Instead of trusting God, he trusted himself, and he got into a place and a situation he probably shouldn't have been in. But God is going to make a masterpiece out of the mess that David made. Watch this. Now, it's not easy. But God can do it. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 3. It says, when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Have you ever wept so badly? Right? To where you just couldn't cry no more? And you just couldn't wail anymore? That's where they were. They were devastated. Everything was burned. Everything that meant something to them was taken. I mean, they were at their wits' ends. They were at their lowest positions. And so watch this. Because David's the leader, right? How well do you think his men are going to respond to what has happened? Huh. Just like the Israelites, when Moses was trying to bring them out. Complain, complain, complain. So here we go. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam, of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel, David was greatly distressed. And here it is. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Let me tell you how fast your friends can turn on you. That fast. Lead them into a hard spot that they don't like. Lead them into a hard spot that might cost them a little bit, and find out how good friends they are to you. Because you know what they were ready to do to David? Whom they knew was God's anointed? They were ready to kill him. David, you made a decision, and it cost me my wife. It cost me my children. You got to die. I mean, they were ready. They were about to stone him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. It's Father's Day, right? Daddies, any of you got daughters in here, right? Them daughters will wrap you up, won't they? They'll wrap you up. Jay Mulhern was here this morning and spoke at our Father's Day breakfast, and he's got two sons. Well, he's now got two grandsons, but he's got a granddaughter on the way. And I just said, Lord, help you. Because if a granddaughter's anything like a daughter, son, you fixing to get whipped, right? I mean, you fixing to just lose your mind to make sure them baby girls are taken care of and protected. Can you identify maybe where they were? That's just where they were. They're ready to kill David. David is feeling that, right? And here's the next part of verse 6, the best part of verse 6. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. That was the linen that the high priest would wear when they wanted to inquire of the Lord. So David still had possession of it. So he says, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him. And look at verse 8. And David inquired of the Lord. This is a lot different than 1 Samuel 27, verse 1, isn't it? Isn't this a lot different? Does anybody see that David is sometimes on what we call the roller coaster of thoughts? Does anybody over else in here ride that? Man, I got one with loops in it in my head, right? I got loops and twists and spins. I ride this roller coaster of thought all the time, and I'm tired of it. It says, David found strength in the Lord. He inquired of the Lord, and this is what he said. Shall I pursue the raiding party? Will I overtake them? And this is what it says. Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. I told you we were going to see a contrast, didn't I? Between two men, Saul and David. Saul inquired of the Lord, and he heard no answer. Why? Because he rejected the Lord. And the Lord rejected him. David, on the other hand, who's not perfect, who is a sinner, but is repentant, he inquires of the Lord, and guess what he gets? An answer. He gets an answer. So the Amalekites had attacked Israel, right? Or at least the Israelites that were there in Ziklag. David gets there and sees the devastation. His own men turn against him. And what does David do? It's the difference maker. It's the difference maker. He turned to the Lord. That's what he did. At this point, he didn't think to himself. He didn't have a best friend standing by because his best friend was ready to throw a rock at his head. He turned to the Lord. And when he turned to the Lord, what did he find? What did the Bible say he found? He found strength. He found strength to be who God created him to be and do what God created him to do. And so David inquired of the Lord. And when he inquired of the Lord, he was looking for a way to move forward. That's what he was doing. He was looking for a way to move forward. And so the Bible says that the Lord answered David, and not just answered him, but gave him success. I was listening to a song this week. I was playing it for my wife, Marty. I love Kim Walker Smith. She's one of my favorite praise and worship leaders, and she's got a new album out called Trample. And in one of her songs, it says, let revival in. Like, I want to be revived. And in that song, here's what she says. She says, His calling is your covering. Think about that for just a minute. His calling is your covering. In other words, if you're looking for protection, you're protected by the calling. Because the calling that God places on your life, that is your covering. If God says you're going to do this, then you ain't got to worry about His protection. He's going to do anything and everything He has to do to get you where He wants you to be, to do what He called you to do. Why would we think we need to think to ourselves? Why would we think that we need a bigger army or better friends when we've got the Lord and His calling on our lives? His calling is our covering. And so David, he was given success by God before he ever went any further. Now the Bible tells us, and I'll go ahead and tell you, the Bible tells us he goes, he attacks the Amalekites, and guess what? He rescues his wives, his men's wives, and their sons and daughters. He rescues them all. Do you think David did that in and of himself? No, he did not, because where did David find strength? In the Lord. It was the Lord who did it. I'm going to tell you something. It was the Lord who promised it. When God makes a promise, what does He do? He keeps it. He's faithful. Even when we are faithless, our God is faithful. And I spell that with two L's, right? Faithful. So we see this example of a man who blew it, but a man who is repentant and humble, and how God makes a masterpiece of his mess. And now we got to come back to Saul. For the last time, by the way, we come back to Saul. We come back to the man who blew it time and time again, who had opportunities to be humble and repent, and he did not. We come back to Saul, who consulted a medium and defiled himself. And the medium said, through the voice of Samuel, you're going to die, and your sons are going to die. So what I'm about to read to you is not a coincidence, and it's not just some random circumstance. It was prophesied. You ready? 1 Samuel chapter 31. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Don't need to. I'm going to read the first six verses, and we'll close. It says, Now the Philistines fought against Israel. The Israelites fled before them, and many fell dead on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines were in hot pursuit of Saul and his sons, and they killed his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. The fighting grew fierce around Saul, and when the archers overtook him, they wounded him critically. Saul said to his armor bearer, Draw your sword and run me through, or these uncircumcised fellows will come and run me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer was terrified and would not do it. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When the armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he too fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men died together that same day. You know, when I read this, there was that prideful, foolish, arrogant, judgmental, condemning part of me that said, you got what you deserved. But thank God that the humble, repentant, non-judgmental said, That could be me. That could be me. See, I see this as very tragic. I see this as very tragic. Most theologians agree that what was happening right here in chapter 31 was happening at the same time with David and the Amalekites. So most theologians agree that what you're reading in chapter 30 and what you're reading in chapter 31 is happening side by side. So David would not have known what was going on, because most theologians seem to think, right? not scripture, but seem to think that if David had heard that, David would have went. And he'd have started whooping some Philistines. That's what most theologians agree, right? But the way it was set up, right, David was kind of doing his own thing, and Saul was doing his own thing. But here's what we can come to agree on. Saul never learned to trust in the Lord. He just never learned to trust in the Lord. And what we see over and over again is that he never truly embraced repentance before God. What was the difference between Saul and David? I mean, they were both, you know, big men, fierce men, right? Now, the Bible says Saul was tall, right? David, not so much. David was more of a handsome, kind of cutish guy, but it also said that David was a fierce fighter. Saul was a fierce fighter. They had a lot in common. Let me tell you something else they had in common. They both needed God. They both needed God's grace, mercy, and love. They both needed God's deliverance. They both needed God's rescue. That's something they had in common. Let me tell you something. That's something we all have in common. I'm going to tell you something else. They both made some bad decisions. I haven't been trying to lift David up and make him some perfect example and Saul some devilish or evil example. Right? I've been telling you the truth about both of them. But ultimately, what really made the difference was that David trusted in the Lord and he was humble and repentant and Saul was not. That is the difference. Saul did not trust in the Lord. He made his own choices, his own decisions. He was selfish. He was arrogant. He was prideful. And he continued in it, unrepentant. And he rejected the word of the Lord, which was his only rescue. If you are fighting pride in this place, if you're fighting selfishness, if you're fighting sinfulness, and the Spirit is stirring your heart, listen to me. The word of the Lord is your only hope. It's your only hope. Jesus is your only hope. David experienced that. See, I believe each and every day we have choices to make. Each and every day, right? And our churches, our choices birth consequences. I mean, when you wake up today, whatever you put on, you'll have a consequence of it. You either put something on, it's going to be too hot, or it's going to be too cold, right? You make a choice. You get in the car, right? You trust other people on the road, don't you? Don't say you don't, because you do, because you're still getting on the road. Somebody asked me the other day, Brother Jeff, do you really run on that highway? Yeah, I do. I trust people. My wife don't. Because she wants to know how far I'm running and what time I'm coming back. Right? Listen, we make choices every day of trust, don't we? And there are consequences. But we also make choices of not trusting. And there are consequences for those too, right? So we have a choice. I'm telling you, everybody in this room, anybody that's listening to my voice, we have a choice today to trust God, His plans, His purposes, and His timing, or we have the choice to reject Him. We do. We have a choice to trust God or reject God. Let me just throw this one at you. You know it. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I believe Solomon wrote this when he was thinking about his daddy. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. See, I just have to think the Spirit led Solomon to write that when he was thinking about his daddy. When his daddy thought to himself one time and then he decided, I better turn to the Lord. And the Lord straightened out a path that was crooked. You see what I'm saying? Now, don't go out and preach that or proclaim that because that's in 2 Jeff and you ain't got that copy yet, okay? But I'm just saying, those words ring loud and clear to me in this passage. So you'll either trust God or you'll reject God. You'll either lean on God or you'll lean on yourself. There ain't no middle ground. You will do one or the other. You'll trust God or you'll reject Him. Not only that, we each have a choice today and each and every day to live humbly or to live pridefully. Okay? We have a choice today to live humbly or pridefully. Let me just ask you a question. In contrast, who lived humbly in this passage of Scripture? David. Who lived pridefully? Saul. Let me throw another scripture at you. You ready? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, and I think you know this one very well. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I just wonder, is it a coincidence that Saul fell on his own sword? I'm not trying to preach some new message or give you some new thought. I'm just thinking out loud. Is that a coincidence that Saul fell on his own sword? Because when I read Proverbs 16, 18, it tells me what happens when you live pridefully. You're headed for destruction. And when you have a haughty spirit, you're headed to a fall. I'm just asking a question. So as we move forward into 2 Samuel, praise God, we're getting there. After 19 messages, we get to 2 Samuel. You're going, can we take a break? No, we cannot. We're going to get through 2 Samuel. So as we move forward into 2 Samuel, here's what I'm reminded. I'm reminded of how desperate I am for Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of how desperate I am for Jesus Christ, because here's the thing. If David couldn't save himself, how in the world am I going to save myself? If David couldn't think to himself and have a great plan and it all work out, how in the world do I think I'm going to think for myself and make a good plan and it all work out? What I'm reminded as we move into 2 Samuel is that David needed God to be who God created him to be. He could not do it without God. He could not do anything without God. And so that's what I'm learning. I'm not worshiping David today. I'm worshiping the God who saved David, who forgave David, who continued to be faithful to David. That's who I'm worshiping. And I recognize that like David, God, I need you. There are times when I'm going to think to myself, Lord, please, please, please speak to me and put me in whatever situation you need to put me in so that I can't think to myself no more. Keep me in a place where I have to look to Jesus, because I know how desperate I am for him. And so that's what I pray we continue to do. I've told you this all along. I love these books, 1 and 2 Samuel. And I do love the stories of King David. I do. But if all we see is Saul and all we see is David and we miss Jesus, then we missed it. We missed it. If we don't recognize our great need for Jesus, and if we don't recognize the faithfulness of our Jesus, then what are we doing? What are we reading? Why are we doing it? So that's my prayer, right? Hey, listen, we're going to see some cool stuff happen in 2 Samuel. But we're going to see some devastating stuff happen in 2 Samuel too. But I'll tell you what else we're going to see. We're going to see King Jesus. And we're going to see his faithfulness. And I'm so thankful that he is faithful, even when I am faithless. Amen? Amen. Fathers, I love you today. And if I could encourage you in anything, it would be this. Trust in the Lord. And lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And I will remind you that pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Love God. Love your family.